and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. Well, I have an announcement for you. Actually, it has nothing to do with the church calendar or upcoming school events. It has to do with the welfare of your soul. Hear ye. Hear ye. Behold, your king is coming to you. Do these words terrify or do they cheer you? Do they strike fear into your heart as you look at your life? Or do they instill hope as you see your desperate need to have someone reign over you, someone to rule for you? You have tried to rule your own life, but do you see where this has gotten you? Into a dark corner. You have tried to handle things all by yourself with your own reason and strength, but you have thereby left yourself alone. You have fallen into the monotony of this world, which has no future, and have not let the seasons of the church here, the seasons of God's grace, shine their light upon you, opening your ears to hear the news that is living and life-giving. Read my lips and mark my words. Behold, your king is coming to you. But our lives, as husbands and wives, parents and children, workers and citizens, even as a congregation, our lives are definitely not the kind that we would want to have announced, to have spoken out loud to the world. Remember, your king is coming. If we were standing in front of that king, and he's standing in front of us, would our lives look like they have looked? Paul calls these things works of darkness. Would our lives have even a hint of the old sinful flesh? Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. These are not my words. Behold, your king is coming to you. I simply announce to you what I've been told to say. These words are God's words. They're the evangelist Matthew's words. They're the prophet Zechariah's words. So God's people have heard these words ever and anew. They've heard these words announced unto them. And so now do you, this day, the first day of the week, the first day of a new church year, the first day of this season of our coming King, our Advent King, today is the day to hear and believe the announcement. Today is the day to hear and repent. Behold, your King is coming to you. Today is the day, as Paul writes in Ephesians 4, to put off the old self, which belongs to our former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Remember that picture in your mind? Jesus' entrance that day, and the crowds and what they did, how they took off their garments in honor of him, the king, as he approached, and they threw him down on the road. May we do something like that, in fact, yes, even more, taking off the old man, the old sinful flesh, which is deceitful and corrupted and knows not God and his truth. But we have the King not only as the one who approaches, but as the one who was crucified and lifted up, the one who was raised from the dead. And so now we put on the new man. Our festival garments are the ones we want to wear, the baptismal ones that were given to you. You didn't buy them. You didn't look for them. They were given unto you, bestowed upon you. You were dressed in them in your baptism. The triune God is the one who gives these festival garments to you. And so we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out with the psalmist, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." The way of the Lord is life and peace. The paths of the Lord are humbleness and truth. The reign of our King is servanthood and sacrifice for you. In today's gospel lesson, we see Jesus on his way and on his path, the King coming to Jerusalem, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. He comes to execute justice and righteousness. In fact, to be our very righteousness. He is coming for you. He comes to bear the burden of your sin, to use his strength and lift it off of your shoulders and place it on his own. He comes to fulfill all the prophets, all God's promises, to fulfill all righteousness. He, as the true prophet, sends his disciples ahead of him. And he says, he tells them what they will find. Two donkeys, untie them, bring them to me. And they found it all just as he said. And so they carried it out just as he had directed them. Seeing this, the disciples do just as Jesus had told them, and the village begins to stir as these two disciples lead these two donkeys away from the village. But then they see Jesus approaching, Jesus riding. And he continues riding, and the crowds continue to swell. And he continues riding down the Mount of Olives, over the brook Kidron, and up Mount Zion. And he continues to the temple. And he continues throughout this Holy Week to his Holy Supper, his Last Supper, to his betrayal, to his bitter suffering and death, to his glorious resurrection and ascension, to his promise to be with you always, to his continuous keeping of that promise in his Holy Word and in your baptism and in his Holy Supper. Behold, your King is coming to you. Your Savior, your Judge, your joy, your very righteousness in this sacrament, your hope, because he is your righteousness on the last day. Behold, your King is coming to you. A righteous helper comes to thee. His chariot is humility. His kingly crown is holiness. His scepter, pity in distress. The end of all our woe he brings. Therefore the earth is glad and sings. To Christ the Savior raise your grateful hymns of praise. Behold, your King is coming to you. So then let us be glad and sing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. We join together and sing the words of King David, our own words too, page 192, "Create in me a clean heart." Please stand.